In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our campus here at St. Thomas has been quieter than usual these last 2 years, as we have met online or outdoors most of that time. Our buildings had not gotten the same level of use that they had had for well over a century. But quieter does not mean that nothing is going on. If you've walked through the kitchen of the parish hall recently, you've seen a new floor and a new countertop and new paint and still more countertops that are missing, waiting to come in. If you've walked through the grounds, you've seen new gravel in the parking lot and new grass where there used to be stumps and other tripping hazards on the lawn. There's new concrete and sidewalks all around campus. And finally, that sinkhole in the driveway that I was told would never go away has been dealt with. One of the challenges of nearly any project, and especially projects on a church campus with as much history as ours has, is the challenge of digging out. There are problems on the surface, yes, it's true, but those problems are nearly always hiding bigger, more structural problems underneath. Jesus said that a new patch sewn onto an old garment just pulls away, making the tear bigger. Pouring new asphalt over an old sinkhole is similar. It looks nice at first, but quickly the same root problems arise. Small projects quickly become big projects. And the nice, neat results that you see are built on top of a whole lot of work that you don't see. So that sinkhole in the driveway had to be dug out, and then it had to be widened and deepened in search of the cause of the sinkage. And then it took 2 tries to find an amount and a composition of new fill that might keep the problem from recurring. What you and I see as a nice smooth patch of asphalt is only going to last because of how much the underlying problem was dug out in the process of fixing it. And of course, this brings me to the prophets. Prophets in the Bible have a rough reputation. Nobody likes the prophets because they say unpopular things. Things that nobody wants to hear. But what they're saying are important things. What prophets say are hopeful things. Prophets are the people who refuse to throw good asphalt after bad, but instead demand that the whole area be dug out with all the bad material removed and any sources of future trouble, any leaking water pipes, any broken sewer lines, or just loose material in the earth, that it all be identified and dealt with. A prophet is like an electrical inspector who's a stickler for the code because that is going to keep your building from burning down and people from getting hurt. A prophet is like an attorney flagging ambiguous language in a legal agreement that might cause everyone grief later on. A prophet is like an engineer, calculating all the force loads and taking into account the margins of error and how they interact with one another so that they can be sure that the customer's design is based on more than just wishful thinking. A prophet is like a doctor who refuses to be content with simply prescribing pain meds, but instead wants to figure out what's the underlying cause of your pain? How can we make it go away forever? All of these professionals are busy digging out the unknowns, the unexamineds, the unthought ofs. They are creating the space where you might be able to build a future that you can count on. So prophecy, like John the Baptist is doing, prophecy is the thankless work of distinguishing between reality and wishful thinking and inviting all of us to live in the real world so that we can have real hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that when I look at my own life, I can see that it is full of places in need of repair. In my life, there are potholes and soft spots. There are corners that are out of square. There's decrepit wiring that was good enough for a temporary fix 30 years ago, but I'm still relying on it. My life is full of assumptions that were never properly spelled out and agreed upon. There are doors that only latch if you pull the handle up and over to the side in a certain way. And there are burners that do not auto-ignite, but instead you got to bring a match. I find these conditions in my relationships with other people, in my life of prayer, and in my own self-understanding. Some of these conditions I have inherited from my family of origin, and I'm passing them right along to my children. Some of them I have absorbed honestly from the world I live in, and some are my own special sins and neuroses. Some of them, like a desire for comfort or for the approval of others, are things that I've struggled with for a long time. Some of them, like a renewed awareness of my own racism and sexism and broader prejudices, have been brought to my renewed attention as I have observed what's going on in the world around me. And plenty of things are like the ice beneath the iceberg, right? The things that I don't see yet. Things still waiting to be dug out and exposed to the light. All of these potholes, all of these disordered affections and skewed perspectives, these things are barriers. Barriers between me and between God. If God is the ground of our being, all that is true and right and good in the world, then all the places where I fall short and fail to measure up are the ways that I am living apart from God, turning my face away from God, preferring to believe my own self-deception and wishful thinking. But Paul's prayer for the church in our second reading today is that their love for one another will increase in knowledge and insight, understanding their own places of lack and brokenness, understanding God's invitation not to remain stuck, but to grow. So, I go to church. I pray. I read my Bible and other spiritual literature. I do these things in order to invest in my own spiritual infrastructure. That's the invitation of John the Baptist today, to work on those things that are creating distance between us and God, between us and one another. Repentance is to straighten the crooked roads, to fill in the valleys, to flatten the hills, to smooth the rough patches, to do all this road work, to prepare the way so that God's people can travel without stumbling. and so that the robe will be suitable for the king's own carriage. Projects continue here on the campus at St. Thomas. And so also the work in our hearts and in our lives are a lifelong project. We are each complex mixtures of righteousness and sin, all jumbled up together. The things that draw us toward God and the things that push us away. And so the invitation of Advent is to pay more attention to those infrastructure projects of the soul. To dig out a little more where there might be some long festering soft spots. And to put in place the practices and the commitments that will provide a more solid foundation for relationships with ourselves and with one another and with God. The promise of Advent is the one that given voice by Paul today. He says, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you, will bring it to completion. Right? Those holes that have emptied out aren't just going to be left there. The work will be brought to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. We are not left alone in our spiritual infrastructure projects. Though God may employ other laborers, God is the architect underneath, working in us according to God's perfect design. And so Advent is the time to repent from everything that distracts, and to engage with the work that God is already doing inside of us, so that we too might see the salvation of God. Amen.